From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM as we get your Independence Day weekend off and away. This hour, the psychic madman Jim Carroll joins us, followed by dream interpreter David Rubin. But here's what's happening now. The BP oil spill plaguing the Gulf Coast, as we have reported, has hit the 140 million gallon mark, surpassing the world spill in 1979 by a Mexican company. BP executives say their company is using the latest technology and putting millions of dollars into trying to plug the leak. Recommendations on how to fix the problem have come from all over. Now, some experts are suggesting using explosives or nuclear weapons to stop the spewing oil. Former President Bill Clinton has hinted that that might even become the only option. The idea of using weapons to stop the leaks, as we have reported, is not new. The former Soviet Union used them to stop natural gas leaks during the 60s and 70s. And Peter Ward, professor of biology and a professor of earth and space sciences, and the adjunct professor of astronomy at the University of Washington in Seattle, he is with us here. Peter, more and more people are talking about bombing that area. I'm not sure that's a good idea anymore, especially with methane apparently leaking out. What do you think?
Hey, first of all, thank you so much for letting me come on your show again. I've really appreciated your skills and interrogator. It's very good. The Soviet Union, as you did mention in that preamble, did indeed do this. And what we hear is that they successfully sealed off several wells. But what we don't hear is the last time they tried it, in 1966, it was not successful. And in fact, it continued to spew natural gas for three more years. So you hear about the ones that work by the people who want it to happen, but you don't hear about the ones that don't. Everybody's got an agenda here, and I think it just shows the sense of A, impending doom from all this, and the frustration.
Oh, it is frustrating, Peter. It is amazing how it's affecting people.
George, what would you do? Let's say you're the president. You're in charge. I mean, you have tapped so much information. What would you do?
Build a ship and we'd all go to Mars.
There we go.
Actually, you know, it's a tough situation. You know, I think he might have jumped on this a little quicker with BP. But I've got to tell you, I at that point, maybe a month and a half ago or so, I might have considered using a nuke down there at that point. You know, when you're looking at this video, it just doesn't look like they can stop it, Peter. I don't know.
No, I'm with you. It's funny. 3 days or 4 days after it started, I was invited on the program. And back then, it just really seemed like, oh, you know, this, it just can't go on. And that's, what, 2 or 3 months ago? Are we coming up on 3 months now?
Peter, I guarantee you, we'll be talking with you in 3 more months from now about the same thing.
Boy, it's just so frustrating. And what I worry about most of all, of course, is the life that's down there. We've got a tremendous amount of important economically, but just food chains are all interlinked. To think that the Gulf, and we talk about it as this separate entity, it's not. It's part of the Atlantic Ocean. It's connected all the way down around through South America to the Pacific Ocean. And there are tremendously interesting and powerful bottom currents. So what is happening in that Gulf region can eventually be carried, and that's why the nuke is dangerous. You have nuclear dust and certainly mud moving right around. The last thing I've been thinking about actually is what is the effect of methane and especially hydrogen sulfide? Because, George, as you know, oil breaks down to this poisonous hydrogen sulfide. What is the effect on coral reefs?
And what about us? What if so much gets dumped into the atmosphere? This could be a planet killer, Peter.
Well, it certainly was the way that the Permian extinction, the greatest mass extinction of all time, is laid down to hydrogen sulfide. At that time, they didn't have oil on the bottom, but what they had was the next best thing. They had enormous blooms of microbes. I mean, oil is simply microbes and plants taken down one step in degradation. So it was not that difficult, and so much of this nasty hydrogen sulfide was produced that it burped out of the ocean and killed land animals. And I've just written a book, actually, that suggests this might be the last stage of what we're doing with global warming. And I actually sent an op-ed to the New York Times. They wouldn't publish it. And I said, why won't you publish this? It's scientifically correct. And they said, well, we just won't publish it because it just can't be right. And I said, why can't it be right? And they said, because we can't let it be right. Okay.
Well, you've always got a platform here, Peter.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Much.
Thank you, my friend. Peter Ward. Geez. Let's hope the next time we talk with Peter, it's good news that they've capped this thing, but I'm not so sure. The Chicago City Council has approved what city officials say is now the strictest handgun ordinance in the nation, but not before lashing out at the Supreme Court ruling that they contend makes the city more dangerous because it will put more guns in people's hands. The new law bans gun shops in Chicago and prohibits gun owners from stepping outside of their homes, even onto their porches or in their garages, with a handgun. It becomes law in 10 days. Toyota Motor Corporation intends to recall 138,000 Lexus vehicles in the United States. Why? They need to fix faulty engines in the latest quality problem to afflict the world's number one automaker. The Japanese automaker said flaws in valve springs, a crucial engine component, could make the vehicle stall while in motion. The recall affects certain GS, IS, LS vehicles from 2006 to 2008 model years. Private employers added a smaller than expected 83,000 jobs in June, but the unemployment rate edged down to 9.5% as many workers dropped out of a labor market that remains very sluggish. The Labor Department reported that the total payroll employment, including government workers, was down 127,000 in June, reflecting the loss of 225,000 census workers who finished their assignments. As he's been saying on this program for well over a year now, Gerald Celente back. Gerald, it's not getting any better out there, my friend, is it?
It's certainly not. And you just said it, the word they keep saying it over and over again, that smaller than expected. And when the data comes in worse, it's larger than expected, or no one expected, or no one saw it coming. It's very clear what's going on. We're even hearing now the New York Times talking about a fear of a depression. George, the crash of 2010 is underway. We're looking at a Dow that is at 1999 levels. We're looking at the Nasdaq. The Nasdaq peaked in March of 2000 at 5,000. Now it's a little over 2,000. So we have a lot of dangerous economic landscape ahead of us. The crash of 2010 will be obvious to everyone before the clock strikes 2011.
I think you're right, Gerald. Let's have a great Independence Weekend. Then we'll get back to work next week, huh?
Okay. Thank you, Gerald.
All right. Gerald Celente, his website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. It's trendsresearch.com. Now, you can't remember where you put your glasses or your keys, right? You're blanked on your new friend's name. Forgetting all these types of things is a sign of just how busy we are, according to Zaldi Tan, a doctor, director of the Memory Disorders Clinic at the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. I'll tell you one person who's got an incredible memory, though. That's the psychic madman, Jim Carroll. And he's next on Coast to Coast AM. Now, if I were to tell you that there's a guy out there who can remember over 80,000 zip codes, what would you say? It's true. Jim Carroll. Intuition and memory skills are beyond belief. He has accurately predicted the Pennsylvania lottery, hundreds of sporting events, and these abilities include these 80,000 zip codes, the Scrabble dictionary, almanacs, and thousands of digits. Jim's intuition has grown dramatically, too, over the last couple months. Why is that, Jim? What's happening to you?
Hey, George. Wow, it's great to be back on again. I missed you.
Yeah. Now, why is your intuition getting better and better? What's happening? You taking vitamins or what?
You know what? I don't know. It's, you know, I do the studying every day. Like, I still do the exercise bike and for about an hour and keep doing the flashcards. I think it's because I'm exercising my brain every day like an Olympic athlete or a football player would exercise their body, or I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I don't have the answers.
When you were a kid, something happened to you, and it was like it just all popped together, didn't it?
Yeah, you know, I've been having it has to do with dreams. Like, it started back when I was six. I was at my aunt's house staying with my cousins. They lived out in the country. And this is a true story. I mean, it sounds corny. and it was pitch dark. I mean, I'm not used to that. When they shut the lights out to go to bed, I mean, you can't even see the hand in front of your face. And I'm laying in bed, I'm scared, and all of a sudden I look out the window, and they have like a cornfield about 50 feet away,
mm-hmm.
and these like people are coming out of the field. It was a dream, obviously. I'm sure it didn't really happen. And they were like silvery, and they're like walking up toward my window, and all of a sudden I woke up, and I was scared. I mean, words can't describe how scared I felt and everything else. And the weird thing is that I dreamed that hundreds of times in my life. I keep having that dream, and that's when it all started, and it led to that lottery dream, you know, back in 1990. By the way, this is the 20th anniversary of that. Wow, that's
good. Wow.
Yeah.
20 years already.
Yeah, 20 years.
It's like yesterday, isn't it?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
You know, there are a lot of sports betting folks out there who love you. Did you know that?
Yeah, that was I was 26-6 last year with the NFL, with the team. It's
yeah, you're beyond. They say that a good picker of sports events betting, 60%, that's doing
really?
Very, very well. You are higher than that.
Yeah. You know, I don't know where it comes from. Like I said, it just happens.
Oh, that's more than just memory then in numbers, right?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I think from cramming my head with memory, I'm doing something. I don't know what's going on up there, George. I mean, I'm not a PhD in psychology or anything, but something's clicking up there. Something's making all of this happen.
Your work here, Psychic Madman. Why do you call yourself the Psychic Madman? Are you that mad?
But no, you know what? The madman thing comes because of the crazy stunts I do in the shows over the years, and I was in the Jackass 2 movie, and you know all that stuff like that. And the psychic part comes from the lottery prediction. I was nicknamed that back in 1990. I used to just be like a regular comedian, magician, and everything's just blowing up right now. I mean, things are going crazy. I mean, I just found a manager. His name's Ed Crowston, and
people like you, Jim. They like you. You know, when they meet you, they like you, and that's important.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, you guys are awesome hanging out with you and Tom out there. That's amazing. I love coming to L.A. I'll be coming to L.A. in a couple of weeks. Hopefully you guys are out there.
I'll probably still be here. I'm going down to St. Louis to see my kids at the end of the month, but you'll probably be here.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, George, I actually went down to Walter Reed Hospital. I was with Montel Williams, and we walked around performing for the troops. And
good
was
for
awesome.
You. What was that like for you to see them?
You know, once again, I can't describe it. It's just the most. I mean, I'm going to go down again in a couple of weeks, and they invited me down in October. I think it's 15th for a casino night to like sit around at the table and show tricks and poker demonstrations. So it's a blast. I mean, those guys are so awesome down there. I just loved it. It was a lot of fun.
This ability that you have, is anybody in your family got the same traits?
You know, my son Justin has a lot of talents, and you know, all my kids at one time or another were in my act. I mean, I had them in and out of boxes and blindfolding themselves and trying to guess people's work. It's really funny. I mean, we talk about it every time they're here. It's like now everybody's getting older. Like my oldest boy's 30 and my youngest is 20. Wow, time flies.
Now, can we do a bit over the phone? People are going to have to trust me. And trust you, of course, but is there anything we can do over the phone to see with numbers?
Well, you could do zip code. You know what I'm doing now? I started giving people associated with their name, I give them a country or a city, and I never forget it. And I have, like, there are literally thousands of people walking around the United States right now that see me at my shows where I give a city or a movie. I have, like, thousands of movies memorized now, and it's a new contest I'm starting, and I'm thinking of really taking this to another level. That's why.
Now, we'll explain that. You know, that you've
okay,
memorized.
Okay, like, say, for example, okay, you're George Norrie.
Okay.
All right? So I would give you a movie. Like, your movie would be Grease.
Thanks. Moore. Thanks a lot.
Well, but I'll never forget that. I don't know why. And this, or like Tom, you know, Tom's would be.
The Adventures of Baron Munchausen.
No, it would be Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
and that's what I do. I just come up with something I associate it with, like, different letters or different characters of the people, the characteristics of the people. And it's pretty unique what I got going on like that. And we're going to do a contest where you can win, like, $10,000 if I ever forget it and things like that. I'm trying to, like, create a lot of excitement. And that's why I came out. I have a book I just came out with, Psychic Madman. I'm coming out with a book. So, and that's going to be pretty unique. And that's kind of like an introduction to who the psychic madman is. It talks about all the dreams and all the weird stories of my life and teaches some memory skills. And I have 16 mind tricks in the book that are going to be incredible. I'm really giving some good things away there.
Is it exercising the mind, Jim? Is that what helps?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Like I said, I play a lot of board games. I play a lot of Scrabble. I play a lot of challenges. I stratego almost every day of my life. I challenge myself every day. I bet you I put 5 or 6 hours into my memory skills every day, George, whether it's practicing with flashcards or playing board games. And I'm just, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with it, but it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And I don't know where it's taking me right now, but
well, you just run with it.
Yeah, so I have a lot of stuff going on, and we could talk about it. It's I found a guy down at the Super Bowl. His name was David Steinfeld, and he told me, "Hey, did you ever have your own TV show?" I said, "No." I said, he goes, "Would you like to?" We hung out for like about a week, and now here I'm signed with a production company
Really?
I have a television show in development right now.
Good for you.
Kind of top secret for right now until it's done. But
I understand. When will the pilot be finished?
We're going to probably have it on here hopefully by January, the whole show. It'll be a series. And all I can tell you is that it's going to definitely bring the 10-year-old out of everybody that sees it. That's what I like doing, just bringing putting you back to when you're 10, just having a lot of fun with people.
Let me throw some zip codes your way.
Oh, boy, I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, I can't use the same ones I used last time because you'll get them quicker this time.
Oh,
so,
geez.
Ready?
Yeah.
96743.
96743.
Uh-huh.
I think that's out in L.A. area somewhere. I think it's out in L.A. somewhere. It's near there. It's like a little town. Or is that Hawaii? I think it goes out to Hawaii.
It's Hawaii.
The 96. You know what? It's really weird because the 96, when it goes to 967, 966 is California, 967, it jumps out to Hawaii. Is it like a little town?
Yeah, that's a little city down there.
Like Kamula or something.
Kamuela.
Like that. Yeah, something like that. That's a tough one.
That's pretty good. Come on now, you're not sitting by a computer going.
That's what everybody thinks. Now, I did this.
No, you've done it in the studio. That's true. I mean, you're that.
Those are hard. They wear off after a while. Yeah, they're really difficult to practice because, you can't just have like 80,000 flashcards and zip codes laying on your sofa while you're riding your bike.
So give us some techniques here, Jim. So many people will meet other people somewhere at a party and forget their name the minute they walk away. That's kind of embarrassing because, they ask 14 people, "What was their name? I can't remember. How do you try to remember somebody's name?" There's got to be some techniques.
That's a good question. Like I said, I associate. The first thing I ever did was I memorized a bunch of movies or a bunch of celebrities' names. Whatever you're into, you memorize a list of something. That's how I do it. And I just keep associating one thing with another. Like for example, I memorized a list of 100 movies. Then about a month later, that 100 turned into 1,000. Then it turned into 5,000. Then it's like 10,000. So now anytime I have to memorize something, like the other day I tried to memorize 100 phobias. And so I associated it with the movies and just try to come up with some funny ideas or I was at a party and in Long Island, and there were like 35 or 40 people there, and they were couples, so about 70 or 80 people. And they were going to email me the names and their birth dates, all right? And I didn't get the email till basically the day I had to drive to Long Island. So I did it on the drive to Long Island from my house, about a 4.5-hour drive. I memorized everybody's birth date, and I associated it with the name. And it's really easy to do. It's a repetitive process. Like as I'm driving, I'll go what's your birth date, for example?
June 4, 1950.
Okay. So I say George Norrie, June 4, and George June, 4, Nor, 4, Nor. And all of a sudden it just sticks.
And it just locks in there.
Yeah, like now, June 4, I'll never forget that.
Well, good. Send me a present next year. Gee, because you forgot this year.
Yeah, well, you never told me it was June 4th.
Hey, when we come back, Jim, I want to talk about poker and how you use your incredible abilities for that. We're going to take some phone calls as well with our special guest tonight, the psychic madman, Jim Carroll, right here on Coast to Coast AM. His website, Jim Carroll, spelled with a K, JimKarol.com is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And if you need to email me, we'll make that simple too. That's George@coasttocoastam.com. Back in a moment with your phone calls. Jim Carroll, our guest this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, David Rubin, dream expert, will be talking about nightmares. He joins us for an hour before open lines. And when we come back, we're going to take phone calls with Jim Carroll, the psychic madman. You know, this holiday weekend, live programming here for you on Coast to Coast AM, starting with Ian Punnett on Saturday. And you know, Ian, I've got to bring all my energy together to listen to you on Saturday. This time.
It's because you're a twihard?
No, it's because you got a guest on that scares the daylights out of me.
See, I didn't know whether you're just into the Twilight series.
Yeah.
So you're into it that way. No, this is pretty cool. You know, he has written the book, which is a field guide to vampires, and he ought to know because he is one, and he's going to tell us what it's really like, vampire culture inside and out. I guess you could say that writing the book is his day job.
Yeah, he does everything during the day, right?
But tomorrow night, we'll have him on live in his element, an interview with a vampire on Coast to Coast.
Twilight doing incredibly great business at the box office.
Are you Team Edward or are you Team Jacob?
Jacob.
You're just guessing, aren't you?
Hey, it's 50-50.
You're just throwing that out.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're totally right. You can't be wrong. You can't possibly be wrong.
You'll never know. See you this weekend.
Have a good night.
Okay, and I'll be on Sunday night. We've got a couple guests for you. Of course, Richard C. Hoagland will be talking about the Gulf oil spill and that methane gas potential leak all over the place, followed by some space stuff with Richard. Then James Von Prague joins us with Tony Stockwell as we talk about mediums. But we'll be right back now. We'll take your phone calls with Jim Carroll right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're with the psychic madman, Jim Carroll, though he is not that mad at all. Jim, Texas Hold'em is huge these days. I mean, huge. It's in television. It's in Vegas. It's all over the place. You play poker. And tell me a little bit about how this has worked for you, this ability.
Oh, you're right about that. It's very huge. I think they're predicting like in the next few years you could have as many as a billion players across the world.
A billion players.
It's just amazing. It's amazing. You know, having a good memory, it could help you a little bit with poker, with odds, memorizing odds and things like that. But I think the main thing for poker is if you're good at reading body language, reading people's eyes. And that's kind of what I do really. I do a lot from the shows over the years and meeting thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It becomes so easy to read them naturally. And so we have a lot of fun with that. Like I was playing in a poker tournament and I have these sunglasses that I wear and they're prescription. All right. And you can kind of look at somebody's eyes and look at, and they don't know you're looking in their eyes. And I play around with people and this is the true story. I'm playing, and then, we're on break, and the guy goes, "How could you tell I'm bluffing all the time? How could you tell I'm bluffing all the time?" I said, "Because every time you bluff, you blush." And that wasn't true. I just said that as a joke, all right? I just wanted to play with his mind like that, right? I swear to you, after the break was over, we went back to the table. Every time he bluffed, he began to blush. It's almost like I talked
you
to him.
Yeah, you did. You trained him to do it.
That was freaky. So, you know, poker's a lot of, like, if you're intuitive, you know, reading eyes, facial expression, body language, you know what I mean? I'm blessed with the opportunity. I had the opportunity to play with some of the best in the world, you know, with these various fundraisers that I do. And, like the one that's going on tomorrow in Vegas, I wish I was there. It's Ante Up for Africa. I play in that every year. You get to play against, like, Howard Lederer, Doyle Brunson, all the
time. Yeah, they're the big guys.
That's great, yeah.
Do they let you play blackjack?
I play poker. Blackjack, I'm not allowed to play.
No, I didn't think so. You could count cards in your mind, right?
Yeah. It's really easy to count cards. That's the easiest thing in the world to do. And that comes like natural to me now from doing all this other stuff. Yeah. Could I get back to something a second?
Yeah.
You said you're having a David Rubin on. Because
you know him?
No, I know of him. I've never met him in person. I've heard him several times. Three nights ago, I had a dream, George. I cannot explain this. Somebody has to explain how this is possible. All right. I swear. The alarm goes off at 5 a.m. My wife gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning every day. I mean, she's an early bird. I'm away. I sleep till 10. All right. And Magic Man's playing. That's Magic Man's song. It's like haunting me for my whole life, that Magic Man song. And that's what was playing on the radio. All right. And I get up and I see 5 a.m. I see my wife hit the alarm and shut it off. I'm like, so I'm laying in bed. I'm trying to fall back asleep. I'm like, come on, I got to get to sleep. I've only been sleeping 2 hours and I got a show coming up. And finally, I must have dozed off because I started having this dream. So now listen to this. I'm dreaming and I'm driving my car and actually playing music on the radio, hearing the whole songs, practicing memory stuff as I'm driving to Philadelphia. I remember stopping at Dunkin' Donuts in my dream, all this stuff, George, right? Then I finally get to the show, all right? I do my whole show, my hour show, and in my dream, I'm doing all my routines and everything else. After the show's over, I pack up in the dream, and I go to the holiday, to a hotel, all right? And I go to sleep. And when I wake up, I'm in my bed. All right, so I woke up,
yeah. And
it was exactly 5:33. So I'm like, wow, I slept all day. This is crazy, right? So I go into the kitchen, and here it's 5:33 in the morning. All of this, how could 7 hours of dreaming go in 20 minutes? Did that ever happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes.
How is that possible?
Well, wow. We'll find out with David.
Yeah, I would love to hear an
Do you make like event predictions?
Yeah.
You've got a few out there, don't you? That you've got this one strange one about a volcano. Tell me about that.
Oh my God. Oh, that was a dream and that just happened, all right? And this huge, huge volcano. It was so vivid in the dream. My dreams are really vivid. That's another thing.
It's like you're there, right?
It's almost like you're there, yeah. And this volcano's erupting, huge volcano, and the whole sky was like fiery and then it turned black. And it occurred, it was in an ocean. It's hard to say if it was Pacific or Atlantic. I'm sure it was the Pacific Ocean, because I don't know of any volcanoes in the Atlantic Ocean. So maybe there are, but I don't know.
Well, there's probably some deep down.
And it was like prehistoric times. The sky got dark and everything else. And I was on this boat, all right, and it was in the dream. And I'm like, oh, my, I never seen anything like it. It was so realistic looking. And the sky darkened and everything else. And then I remember... like the worst, absolute, I'm 50, we're the same age, just about, George. The worst winter of our lives came after that. So I did some research, and I found out that if that indeed did happen, if something like that would happen and it would cool the Pacific Ocean, that would cause a bad winter in the United States. So
it could be huge. There's always thought that the La Palma situation, too, could be bad. Near the Canary Islands,
right?
That would be a disaster.
Oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
Of biblical proportions. We got a text message in for you, and I want to be able to read that for you. And it's from Tim in California. He wants to know what's the best way to pick lotto numbers. There you go.
Dream them. I don't know. That's a tough. You know how many emails I get from that every time I'm on your show. I like my website crashes just about every time I'm on your show.
Is there a technique?
Or what, a technique to pick lotto numbers?
Yeah.
No. Everybody knows I had that dream about the 222 back in 1990.
Right. So they think you pick lotto numbers,
yeah,
right?
That was a real dream. I'd like to ask him about that dream.
I mean, it's not something, you don't do that every day, right?
No, I wish if I did that, I wouldn't have to be performing for a living. I'd be picking lotto numbers.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to Robert in Clearwater, Florida. Hey, Robert, you're on with Jim Carroll on Coast to Coast. Go ahead.
Great show tonight, guys. Jim Carroll, I'm a big fan of yours. I'm always checking out your website. I myself am an aspiring mentalist. I have a very solid one-hour mentalism act, but I just cannot get past these little open mic nights. What advice can you give someone who's trying to break into the psychic entertainer business? And how did you start getting actual bookings?
I could give you some great advice. There is an organization called NACA, NACA,
N-A-C-A.
The National Association for Campus Activities. And all you have to do is go to NACA.org and join that organization. And you're like, when you go to a NACA convention,
The students come from all over the different. It depends if you do a regional convention or a national, and each college sends like a program board, an activities board, and they're like kids in a candy store looking for entertainment for the year.
Ah.
It's just so much fun. Oh my God!
And you just started building and building from that.
Right? Yeah, I've done over 3,000 college dates in my career, and I owe it all to NACA.
That's amazing. Do they pay you? They pay you a little bit for that? Or is it all voluntary? What is it?
No, you get paid at by the universities. Each university will hire you to do a show.
Ah, okay.
And that's.
And how does he market himself to this organization, or does he just go to the conventions?
You go to the convention. You make yourself. You'll buy a booth and you make yourself some business cards up or a little poster in the back of your wall, and the kids will walk by and they'll go, "Hey, how you doing, Robert?" And you show them a trick or a
make them disappear or something. And boom.
I'm serious. It's a great livelihood, and I've done that for a long time, you know. But that's a great advice for you, Robert. Do that and have a nice website the college market is a great market for a mentalist.
And then maybe somebody hears you or picks you up or something like that.
Exactly. That's how it works. It's all about. You know, if you have a good product, they're going to buy you. And if you have a good personality, that's the key.
Go to Florida now. Jamie, you're with us east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how old you were when you knew that you had psychic abilities. And the reason I'm asking is in the last 10 years, my husband's terminally ill and I'm a truck driver. And in the last 10 years, I know when he's fixing to have a heart attack, whether I'm 5 states away. I knew the day he got gangrene, I was 3 states away. And I know when he's in trouble, whether I'm home or on the road, awake or asleep. So I'm curious how old you were, and can it come on late in life?
You were young, Jim, weren't you?
Yeah, but you know what? I had bits and pieces. That's what the Psychic Man book is about. I had bits and pieces and flashes of this happening all throughout my life, and I really never knew what it was. I still don't know what it is, to be honest with you, but it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And like anything else, it could start at any age. Like my memory ability didn't even begin till I was 49. It's like you. Everybody has an ability somewhere. It's just a matter of, you know, some people don't like the phone rings and you have an idea who it's going to be, or you'll be thinking of somebody and the phone will ring. Everybody has something, but you know, who has the answers to this? There's nowhere to really go for the answer. You just have to be a pioneer and explore it yourself. But you obviously have something going on there, and I would just keep it going. That sounds really interesting. Wow.
John from Wisconsin sends in a text. How many digits of pi can you go?
Pi is like the zip codes, George. It's like 314-592-5859-793-238-463-6433-8327-95-028-8419-791-6979. Now, you know you can't even be reading it that fast.
No, you can't.
They just come to you.
What you said.
I'm telling you, it's very strange. The memory stuff that I'm doing right now, it's so bizarre that you don't even have to think about it to recall it half the time. Like especially stuff like pi or like, you know, like if you're going to remember like presidents, or now I'm getting into memorizing all these athletes because I do a lot of football functions, baseball functions. But pi, there's a guy out there that does 5,000 digits and there's another guy that I think he did over 20,000 digits.
Wow.
The guy from England, that's ridiculous.
Do you compete with these people?
No,
I
don't like competing. Like when I was on that NBC's Phenomenon, I hated doing that. I don't want to compete against it. I just want to have fun with people. And like I said, bring the 10-year-old out of people. I just love doing this. I don't like the competition part of it.
You brought the winner and the second place person down.
Yeah, Mike Super and Angela.
Good
They're
people.
Doing really well. They're great people. I stay in touch with both. Angela's actually in medical school now. She's going to be a doctor. And Mike's doing very well with his magic show.
Super.
He's doing really well. Yeah, Mike's super.
Let's go to some more final calls here. St. Louis, Missouri. Nick, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Nick.
Hi, George. Nice to meet you.
You
again.
Too.
I got to see you for your book signing in St. Louis.
Ah, that's right. Thank you for coming by the way.
Thanks. I haven't been listening to the show all night, I apologize, but I did have a quick question for the guest about a recent Nostradamus prediction that I had read about online regarding the oil spill. Have you heard about this, sir?
No, I didn't hear about it. No, so Nostradamus predicted that as well? Wow.
Well, he came close to it.
Well, you know, obviously, I apologize. I don't mean to interrupt. I mean, a lot of that stuff can be interpreted in multiple ways.
Yes.
But I wish I had a a more solid answer. I'm riding in the car right now on a trip, but I wish I had the actual quatrain to give
hey, Nick,
you. I just wondered if you had.
On our website, do a search for John Hogue, H-O-G-U-E. He was talking about 2 weeks ago on the program about that.
Was he, sir? I apologize.
Okay, John Hogue.
Thank you.
Okay, you got it, Nick. Let's go to Jonathan in Atlanta, Georgia, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Jonathan. Take it away.
Good evening, gentlemen. A quick story about an experience I had about 12 years ago. I was driving a cab for the small cab company, and I don't play the lottery. I don't gamble, but that particular day, I had a really interesting experience. I worked for this elderly Korean guy. He was a Buddhist. He spent several hours a day meditating, and he was a businessman. He owned like three different businesses. He was all about making money. But just out of the blue, he picked me. He told me to play this number, 444, and play a dollar for him. I never even played the lottery. I put $5 down on it that evening, and it hit.
Wow.
I won $2,500 the very first time I played. It was really a strange experience. That morning, I had this trip at a hotel to pick up. I had a name of a customer I was supposed to pick up. This guy came out, and he wanted to get in my cab. It was about a $50 fare to the airport, but he wasn't my customer. Even my dispatcher said, go and pick that guy up, you know. I just didn't feel right about it. I would be taking another cab driver's trip. So, you know, sure enough, a few minutes later, the other cab pulled up and got away with the guy, and I didn't even get my fare. My dispatcher is kind of laughing at me, like, you gave away that trip just out of my mouth. I said, well, if you don't worry so much about money, it'll come to you.
So true.
And that evening is when I hit. You know, my question is about, like, playing the lottery. Now, Coast to Coast has done many consciousness experiments before. Now, what would you say to, like, many millions of people concentrating on a number falling or something?
You know what?
The chances or the odds or something like that happening.
All right, got a minute left, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Okay, that's amazing you bring that up, because when I did the 222 prediction back in 1990, I would hold up a sign at all my shows between November 2nd and Christmas, and I'd say, play 222, play 222. And over 31 shows I did that, and who knows, maybe the consciousness of all these people thinking of 222 actually made it come up. Nobody knows. Who knows that answer? I don't know. It's possible, though.
It is amazing. How much of what you do is magic, trickery, or just plain old incredible abilities?
I'd say the ability part of it is increasing in percentage over the years. I'd say right now probably 70-75% of what I do is real, based on real memory, real intuition, really reading people's eyes, and the other part is like scientific trickery and electronic trickery. And as everybody that knows me, George, I'm as honest as they get when it comes to stuff like that.
Yes, you are. The name of the book, Psychic Madman by Jim Carroll. It's a neat read, and you'll have some fun. And you know what? I do believe we all have these abilities. Jim Carroll, thank you so much. Up next, we're going to talk with David Rubin about nightmares and dreams, followed by Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.